You know, the way we see things is very, very important. Here's a guy who's intently looking at something. But what we see is very, very important because it determines how we act. It determines how we think. It determines the choices that we're going to make. So the way we see things is very, very important. Now, share when you see a word. Oh, yeah, there's liar. Some of you have seen this before. These are those kind of allusions. It depends on your perception. It's in cursive, liar, written down this way, but if you look at it straight, it's a face. Now, I'm going to give you one other right here just to kind of look at. When we talk about perspective, what do you see here? You see faces. Yeah, and you see like the bottom half of chess pieces. And if you look at it, you can see both. And that's really what God wants us to be able to do. He doesn't want us just to be able to see this world. He wants us to be able to see this world and what he's doing in it. If all we see is this world, we're seeing half of the picture. But God wants us to see more than that. If some of you had trouble, I put this one up because it's a little easier to see. But you can see people and you can see things. You can see people and you can see things. You can see people and you can see things. And that's how God wants us to be. We can't just see things. We've got to be able to see people. And we've got to be able to see people the way God wants us to see people. You know, what I think is really interesting is when you look at the Chinese language, the written language, they take pictures that represent words and they put them together to make other words. Well, the caricature for courage in Chinese is a combination of the two characters, danger and opportunity. Danger and opportunity come together, you better have courage. But if you've got the courage to look and see the opportunities rather than run and hide from the danger, you can do some mighty impressive things. And it is the same with us and with what God wants to do in our lives. We can't just see problems. We can't just see struggles. We can't just see challenges. If we do, we become depressed. We become fearful. We become paralyzed. We draw back and try to protect. But we need to see opportunities. We need to be able to see things with faith, knowing that God brings us into this world to face challenges so that he can show himself strong on our behalf. And he shows himself strong when we act in faith. We don't show God's spirit and the reality of God in our lives when we cower and when we are cautious, when we're not bold. And so we're going to get back to this story. But 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Now the first week, or couple of weeks, that we looked at this story, we looked at it from the angle of the beggar. And we'll read the story in Acts chapter 3 again. And we saw here that this is a man who's part of the family of God. He's part of Israel. He is a Jew. But he is living with low expectations. He is not looking to soar like we just sung. He is not looking to walk and run as he waits on God, because he is sure that at the end of the race, he will have the prize for the high calling in Christ Jesus. But he is trying to survive. He is trying to get by. He goes into the temple, and he actually turns his back on God and looks out to God's people for help. And he is looking for something to help him get by and manage his life on this earth one more day just to survive. There's a big contrast between him and Peter and John. Peter and John are going to approach this same situation with extremely high expectations. And so let's take a look at what happens as we look through this story again. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. So they're headed into the temple, and the temple in Jerusalem is a place that every Jew comes to visit at least once a year, and every Jew that lives around tries to visit once a day. So it's always packed, like we got River Bend going on, right? And it can get packed, depending on who's singing. Well, when God's the attraction, it's always packed. And so you're going to come in and move out with these big crowds and get in when you can, and there's times that are easier to get in, times that are tougher. This is one of the toughest times. But it's when most of the people are there. So Peter and John, on this afternoon, they come in at the 3 o'clock prayer service, and they walk in, and as they approach the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. And the Bible tells us that each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could beg from the people going into the temple. Now, they have passed by this guy hundreds, probably thousands of times, maybe tens of thousands of times. Each day he's laid there, and they walk through. They've seen him over and over. I'm sure they've given alms. I'm sure they have given him money. They've probably stopped and acknowledged him a time or two. But they've walked by this man and seen him. They may not know his name, but they know who he is. But on this day, it's going to be different. Peter and John are walking in, and they've got high expectations. They know God's got a plan for their lives. They don't know what it is, but they know he's got a plan. They know God wants to use them as a light to the world. They know God wants to use them to make a difference in the world. They don't know how he's going to do it. They don't know with whom they will connect with that day. But they know God is at work. And they know God is leading them. So they come in not looking to do something for God. But they come in looking to see what God is doing and listen and follow his leading in their lives to join him in what he is doing. A lot less pressure that way. I know a lot of people that have high expectations, and the drive to achieve them almost kills them. But you know what's funny? The Bible tells us whatever is done in the flesh is of the what? The flesh. What's done in the spirit is of the spirit. And that's a really difficult thing in the Christian life sometimes to get a handle on. Because we can have a zeal for God without knowledge. We can have a heart that wants to serve God, but not have any idea what he's doing. And if God's got something for me to do over here, but I am so driven to do this over here, I'm not doing what God wants me to. And I want you to think about what God tells us he wants us to do. He wants us to listen to his voice and what? Follow him. Listen to his voice and follow him. That takes us being a little still. That's faith, to listen and follow. The opposite of that, the Bible tells us, is to lean on our own understanding. The natural mind, the Bible says, is the enemy of God. In other words, if I've got a passion for what I want God to do, and I try to figure out a way to get it done, I will find that I am the enemy of what God is trying to do. Because the good things I'm doing leave me in a place where I can't hear God's call to do what he wants. And I'm so busy doing something for God that I have no idea what God wants for me. And every time that I move out of the spirit, that means that I lose my connection of being calm and saying, God, show me where you're working. Let me join you. Every time I lean on my own understanding and I start thinking things out, the Bible tells me I've gone from the spirit into the flesh. And you know what that's called? Sin. Now, sometimes I'll do some really bad things when I'm in the flesh. And we all know that's sin, right? Sometimes I can do good things that God did not intend for me to do, and you know what the Bible calls that? Sin. My righteousness can be like filthy rags. Because God wants a servant whose heart is connected and following him. He doesn't want someone who thinks he knows more than God does, so he'll go off on his own and he'll get something that God will be impressed with. And we don't think about it that way, but many of us operate that way. And so our perspective on what we are doing is very, very important. Now, Peter and John come through here. They've gone by this guy all the time. But for some reason, it hasn't been the time that God wanted them to interact. They could have come and tried to help him before, but it wasn't the time that God had ordained for them to help him. And so actually, they might could have gone in there and helped him find some other type of employment and got him a place outside the temple and fixed him up in a place where they walked in this day, and he's not even there with good intentions. God's going to do a tremendous work because this man is there on that day. And Peter and John are walking in and they're listening to see what God wants them to do. They're listening to feel that Holy Spirit drawing them to a place. And this man saw Peter and John. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes when we're working with people and we see God do a wonderful thing, we see them and we try to bring them in. Sometimes if we'll look, we didn't see them. But something God stirred in their heart, they saw us. And so this man sees them and he asks them for some money. Now what's interesting about Peter and John here is they stop. They stop. They've got an agenda. They've got stuff they want to do. They want to lead the world to Christ. Here's this man over here that seems insignificant. It would be easy not to stop because I've come for the crowd. But they stop. If you think about reading the Gospels and reading about Jesus, you will notice that they're all stories about when Jesus what? Stopped. And occasionally someone calls out to him, but many times Jesus instigates the conversation. It can go both ways, but what's unique about Jesus is that he always is sensitive when God tells him to stop. I wish I was. I'm probably like some of you. Sometimes I go home and I think over the day and I think, oh, I wasn't thinking when I had this experience or this interaction with a person and I didn't catch what they were saying and I walked right on by and missed an opportunity to connect with them. Am I the only one who does that? Jesus never did that, okay? Jesus never did it. We do. Well, today, Peter and John are not going to do that. So they walk in and this man sees them and Peter and John looked at him intently. You can't do that if you don't stop. You can't do that if you're not in the Spirit. You can't do that if you're on a mission and you've got a project that you are going to complete for God. Or for yourself. Doesn't matter which one. You've got to be at peace in your heart, listening for what God is doing. You've got to be going through your day, whether it's at work or whether it's sitting with family or whether it's out someplace in the mall or wherever it is, you have got to be connected with God, thinking, God, you're here even right now. You are always with me. You are always at work. Don't let me get going so fast that I miss what you want in my life. I guess that's kind of what Jesus says when he's saying, you can't follow me unless you give me what? Everything. That means your total attention, doesn't it? A lot of times it'd be easier for us if we could follow him in pieces and have the rest of the time for ourselves. But even as we're enjoying life, we're supposed to be enjoying God in life. And so they come and they look intently at him. Something grabbed him to speak. They stopped to see what is God doing. And they looked at this man. If they wouldn't have looked at him, they probably would have given him some money. But that's not what he needed. He didn't need enough money to make it another day and then be begging at that place the next day. But for some reason, Peter and John, in their hearts, felt like God is saying, at this point, this man can receive more than just a handout from you. There's something happening here where you can share who I am with that person and allow them to be able to stand up and walk with me rather than be carried by you. They looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." That's a really, really interesting statement, isn't it? You know, we just sang, "Even so, come." And we're talking about the second coming where Jesus will physically come back to earth. But how many of you know, even though Jesus physically is in heaven, his spirit still lives where? Inside of us. And so he said, "Look at us." Part of what we're doing when we're connecting with God and we come in contact with people and we're talking with them is we're looking for the opportunity for them to see us just like we see them. Because I am a child of God. And if someone sees me on the surface, they may think I'm just an ordinary human being, but I'm not. I've got the Spirit of God in me, which makes me like a superhero. And so are you. And if they can stop and see what's in my heart, they can see Christ. And so he stopped and said, "Look at us." And the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. He wasn't expecting what Peter and Paul were going to give him, but he was expecting something, and he was looking to see who it was and what they would give him. You know, I had experienced this Thursday. I went in to see the doctor. And I came out, and it was the heart doctor for a checkup. I have a yearly checkup from the heart doctor. And I went through the thing, and I came walking out. And as I walked out, there was a man who was sitting right there. And I do not know why, but when I walked by, he just glanced up. We made eye contact, which you usually don't do in a waiting room. We made eye contact, and he just nodded his head like that. And so I walked on out, and I got outside, and it's like the Holy Spirit just said, "You need to go back in there and talk to that man." And I thought, you know, that's going to be really kind of weird. And so I kind of mulled around a little bit, and then I walked back in, and he was over there, and I thought, you know, I walk up, and I thought, now how in the world am I going to, you know, broach this? He just saw me walk out, and I walked back in. It's kind of like, how is he not going to think I'm an Amway salesman? And so I went back out, and I got a drink. And then I came back in, and I just sat down. He was on his phone at that time, so I just came by and said, "Hey, can I take this seat?" And he said, "Yeah." And I sat down, and I, you know, did something on my phone there, sent a text or something like that, and that turned off. And I just said, "Are you here for yourself, or are you waiting for somebody?" He said, "No, I'm here for myself." And I said, "Well, you seem like you're pretty young." I said, "When I signed up on the thing, I noticed that I was the only one whose birthday wasn't on or before 1940. And he said, "Yeah, I noticed that too." And I said, "Well, what's going on?" And he said, "Well, I've got stage 3 cancer, and it's affected a heart valve." And they called his name, and he got up, and he went in there. And so I thought, okay, you know, this is probably going to take an hour or so. And so I thought, well, I'll pray for him, I'll go. And I started to walk out, and God said, "You need to wait." And so I went back in there, and I sat down. And about an hour and a half later, this guy comes walking in. And when he comes walking out, he goes to walk right by. And I said, "Hey, can I talk to you for just a second?" And he said, "Okay." And so we sat down. And I wanted to know a little bit more about what was going on with you. And he started telling me and stuff like that. And after we were in and he was talking a little bit uncomfortable, I said, "Well, you know, actually, I just felt like God wanted me to come back here and pray for you." And the conversation just kind of changed right there. And he started asking me a few questions. And we started talking about his children that were young, and we started talking about his wife, and we started talking about his life, and we started talking about why God might have allowed that in his life, and how he was reacting to it. And he was a vibrant person. And we just talked about how God could use that. And I could just tell as we sat there, you know, sometimes when people just need something, they just need something. They need some clarity from God. And we talked about 1 Peter, and he was able, you know, he got up and he shook my hand when he went to leave, and we probably talked 30, 40 minutes. And when he got ready to leave, he said, "Thank you for seeing that in me." And that's the same thing that's happening right here. This man saw Peter and John. For some reason, there was a connection. And he didn't know what it was. And he didn't think it was much. That guy was just going to walk right on out. But God spoke to Peter and John because they stopped and looked intently and they listened. And then they said, "Look at us." And as we talked and I said, "Let us pray," he saw something different from a normal conversation. And for some reason, God connected him where he wanted to hear what was going to be said by someone who had waited an hour and a half to pray for him. And it was what he needed to stand up and move on. And that's the kind of thing that God wants us to do. That's what's happening right here. The lame man looked up at him, eagerly expecting some money, and Peter said, "I don't have any silver and gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." There's more to it than just having a conversation and trying to help somebody feel a little better or give them some advice on some stuff to do. What you need to know is that Christ is real and he sees you. And he's there to help and he sent some help. And he wants you to know that no matter where you are or what's happening, he is still at work and he has a plan and you're a big part of it. He trusts you. And he sees something in you that you might not see in yourself. But when you see it in yourself, it inspires you to be the person God wants you to be. And you can be that person if you have that vision from God. I can't be that person if I have encouragement from someone else. That helps. But I've got to have that knowledge that God is leading me where I'm going, especially when it's through a difficult place. Then Peter took the lame man by his right hand and he helped him up. And this is an analogy for what God wants to give him. People want to give him enough to get by and ease their conscience. God wants him to be able to stand in whatever condition he is on his own two feet as a child of God, serving God, and knowing his life is meaningful. That it has a purpose and a worth. And that God can do something special for him. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He was refreshed. He was renewed. He started to soar like on wings of eagles. He jumped up. He stood on his feet. And he began to walk. And then walking and leaping, praising God, he went into the temple with them. A new person. A new person. And the people all saw him walking and heard him praising God. Isn't it interesting how often, somewhere along the line, for God to touch a person's heart, there needs to be a testimony somewhere. Sometimes it comes from your heart, sometimes it comes from someone else. But they saw him praising God. They saw something different. They saw something spectacular. They saw something amazing. They saw something attractive. They saw something that they wanted. They saw that joy in him, and when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. And they all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. And Peter saw his opportunity, and he addressed the crowd. You know, seeing our opportunity is very, very important. Every one of you is created as a light to shine in this world. God planned before you were ever created good works for you to do in Christ Jesus. He plans for you to be the change agent in your world. He's trusting you to be that change agent. You can't be it if you don't see your opportunity. Not opportunities to do things, but the opportunities that God is giving to you to make an eternal difference, because His Spirit is waiting to join you and work. I had a man who brought me some rental stuff Saturday. And I was rushing around, and I didn't want Robin to be home when they dropped it off. And I thought I was not going to be here, but it ended up that I got back in time, and the guy was just putting it off. And so I got there, and I kind of talked with him a second, you know, about getting it in the right place. And then he got in his truck and got ready to leave. And I can't even remember what I said. I just said something. And he said, my son plays football at UT. And so I said, well, tell me about that. That must be exciting for you. And he said, well, it's been really rough because he's been there 3 years. He's had injuries every year. So he's only got to play a couple times in a game, and then he's out. And he said, but he's healthy now. And we talked, and I just listened to him for about, it was probably 30 minutes. He showed me videos. He showed me three videos on ESPN he had on his phone of his son, and his son was good. Then he showed me a high school football game of his son, and he had 11 pancakes in a row in this film. That means you block somebody and knock them down on the ground. And, I mean, he looked spectacular. And he said, I'm hoping that he'll be able to play this year. And I said, well, let's just pray for him. And when I said that, it was like, he was not expecting that. And so we prayed for his son. And it just changed that dynamic in what's happening. And he had told me a few other things that had happened in his life preceding while I just listened and listened and listened. But he was not expecting someone to pray for him. But he left me his name, he left me his son's name, and somewhere in the next week he'll be coming back to pick that up. And what God's going to do, I don't know, but I do know this, that if I'm not there, I'm missing a possible appointment that God had. Because I know that was an appointment that I ran into. Because you can feel when someone's heart sees the difference in you, and they're intrigued by what it is. May take a little time, but see, that's the beauty of this too. How many times had Peter and John gone through the temple? How many times had they walked past this man? How many times had they, probably because they're Christians, spoken to him? How many times had they given him something to put in his pocket? Many, many times. And all of those times were building up to the place where God was going to work. And so was God pleased with them all the way through? Yeah. They were planting seeds. If you don't plant seeds, you don't harvest them. Nobody plants seeds and harvests them every day. You got to wait for the harvest. You don't know what part you're in. But nobody harvests that's not looking at the field. Well, through faith, in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. It's interesting. He's looking for an opportunity to do what? Share his wisdom? Give some good advice? Be a friend? Now, he'll do all those things because that's who he is. He's looking for an opportunity to point to Christ. He's looking for an opportunity to say, this is who God is in my life. Look at it. See the Spirit of God inside of me. Does he speak to you? He's looking for when God moves. You know, one of the most interesting things, and I'll end with this, that really changed my perspective of things. About 20 years ago, I started working, well, I'll take that back because I was in West Plains. I guess it was about 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I changed from being a football coach who was a Christian to a Christian who was a football coach. And I started looking at how I could lead those kids on the football team to Christ. And I talked with my father who had led many, 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 many people to Christ. And I asked him, I said, how in the world do you do this? How many people do you share the gospel with that don't accept Christ? And he said, none. And I said, what do you mean, none? He said, I don't share it until I know they're ready to hear it. He connected with people heart to heart. That was a huge, huge change in the way I thought of things. Rather than me witnessing for Christ, I am a witness. Because there's not churchy Bill and then Bill. I think one way all the time. I am a child of God. And so I am looking for those times when the Spirit of God actually catches the attention of someone else. And when I feel that bond and I see that stare and I feel that openness, I share when someone's ready to hear. Always ready to give an answer of the hope that's in who? It's in me. It's the hope I have that you see. And so I want you to be encouraged to know that God can work powerfully in your lives, not if you work harder, not if you're more devoted, not if you strategize and get out there, but if you stop and listen and you just say, Lord, I'm going to be bold enough and courageous enough that when I see an opportunity, even though I know there's some danger, someone may laugh at me, someone may reject me, some may whatever, I'm just going to be me, your child in this situation. I'll say what's on my heart. And when someone wants to listen, I'll say more. And someone doesn't, I'll walk away. I might give them an arm, but I'll walk away. I'll wait for another day. Well, let's let the band come up here, and we're going to sing a song of response. And I know that this is a message, really, for Christians. It's a message for those of you who already are trying to follow Christ on how to follow him a little bit better, how to be more sensitive to what he's doing. But there may be someone out here who also is standing there and realizing, my concept of being a Christian is nothing like what you're talking about. My concept of being a Christian is that I'm not going to do things I know God doesn't want. As I live my life leaning on my understanding, trying to do the best I can, I didn't realize that that was sin. I didn't realize that trying to please God on my own could be sin. Because I'm not submitting to him and following him. I'm still going my own way. It's just a religious way. And you may be sitting there and God may be speaking to you and saying, hey, here is the problem. You and I are really not connected. You don't even think about walking with me. You don't think about listening to me. You don't think about your life being one lived to honor me on a minute by minute, day by day walk. You're not following me. You're not connected like that. And if God is speaking to you like that, the reason is because he wants that connection. He wants you to be aware that you are separated from him because he died on the cross to bring you to him. And if God is stirring in your heart and something inside of you is saying, I can't live like I have been. I don't want to be apart from God anymore. I want to know what it's like to be with God, to walk with God, to know God. And simply pray with me right here. Father, I know you created me. You are God. I'm not an accident. I don't know why or how, but right now, I know you're real. And I don't understand how, but I know you're speaking in my heart. And you're saying, come. Forgive me, Lord, for not seeing you. Forgive me for ignoring you. I thank you that you love me, and I can see that in that you came and died on the cross, paying for my sins. Nothing I've done, nothing I've said can separate me from your love. You paid it all. And so right now, I just give myself to you. I ask you to come into my heart and make me the person that you created me to be. And if you're a Christian and you feel like God is speaking to you, saying you need to be more intentional in your walk with me, just open your hearts and say, Lord, take all of me. Take my attention. Teach me to walk with you. Help me to stop and to listen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.